privilege tonight to have with us Brother Drew Mahaney. Brother Drew and his wife and their two children in 2 weeks to be three children are headed to Korea as missionaries. They are with the board Armed Forces Baptist Missions. And there you go. And I thought one of the great ways to introduce him would be to show you his video. And then he's going to come share his testimony, his calling, and his passion for what God has called him to. Play it at this time, if you would, Randy.
Hello, my name is Doug Carriger, and I'm the General Director of Armed Forces Baptist Missions. I want to thank you for taking the opportunity to watch this video and prayerfully considering supporting this ministry.
These words describe the men and women in uniform who fight for our freedom across the globe. They are deployed to nearly 500 bases in 80 countries around the world. Although the United States meets their physical needs better than any country in the world, often their souls go unguarded.
God has given us a great burden for the people of Waegwan, South Korea. We are Drew and Leela Mahaney. Along with our sons Eric and Nathan, God has called us to reach our military soldiers stationed at Camp Carroll, as well as the wonderful Koreans that live around the post.
Drew and I were both saved as teenagers and grew up in Christian homes. As small children, we had the desire to work across seas and foreign fields. After meeting in college, God led us to go back to the field of South Korea.
God has given us a great desire to see the salvation of our military heroes. We are equipping ourselves with every tool to reach these heroes with the gospel of Christ, including taking classes on PTSD offered by AFBN.
The U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs estimates that one in five soldiers returning from the war in Afghanistan suffers from PTSD. That number doubles for Iraqi war veterans, and 60% of Vietnam veterans suffer from PTSD. That number continues to rise daily. Growing up in a military family, I was able to see firsthand the devastation of a young person's testimony. These young people are often stationed for the first time away from their families and their home churches. These young Christians are bombarded with the world and with their friends, trying to get them to throw away their testimony. Our goal is to be a refuge for these young people, a place where they can continue to grow and learn to serve God and be used by Him back in their units.
We also desire to see the Korean nationals come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. If you look at the night sky in any Korean city, you will see it dotted with red crosses. Each of these crosses represents a church.
With over 77,000 churches, you would think on the surface that Korea is a Christian nation. That's one church for every 700 Koreans. But as you dig deeper, you find that of the 55 million people, 70% claim to be of zero religious affiliation or Buddhist. These people are lost in a dying world and need to hear the lasting peace of Christ. Our goal is to reach them. We want to be fluent in Korean so we can preach to them without having to worry about an interpreter. Once they've been reached, we want to train them to where they can be used by God to reach their fellow Koreans with the gospel of Christ. We ask most importantly that you would pray for us as we endeavor to reach the lost souls in Waegwan, South Korea. We also ask that you would prayerfully consider joining with us in support that we can reach our military heroes and Korean nationals before it's too late.
I'm Brother Mosley. I pastor First Baptist Church, Haltom City. Brother Mahaney is one of the men in our church, and Brother Mahaney has a burning desire to serve the Lord as a missionary in Korea. He loves those people, and he seeks to win them to Christ. I believe if the Lord should so lead you and your church to support him, I believe you would be glad that you did, and God will bless his efforts as you unite with him to help him get the gospel to those people. Thank you for considering him as your missionary in Korea.
Say that for Foxtrot 3-4, this is Hotel Quebec Asia, over.
Hotel Quebec Asia, this is Flight Alpha Foxtrot 3-4, carrying 345 of heroes back to their families after 14 months. Please transmit, over.
Flight Alpha Foxtrot 3-4, this is Hotel Quebec Asia. Let the heroes know you have cleared enemy territory and we have their backs. Someone smiling down. Godspeed and good thoughts for a smooth flight to take care of those heroes. Hotel Quebec Asia, out.
Hotel Quebec Asia, this is Flight Alpha 3-4. We let them know they're safe and we are sending appreciation from shouting heroes. We owe you one, Hotel Quebec. Over.
Flight Alpha 3-4, we owe them everything. Over and out.
As you can see, there's a great need for our military and the Korean nationals to hear the lasting peace of Christ. We are the Mahaney family, my wife Leela, my boys Eric and Nathaniel, and soon to be joining us Reagan. We're grateful for the opportunity to be able to present our ministry. Thank you, Pastor Hunter, for the accommodations and the opportunity to be able to be here and present our burden for what God has given us in Korea. As you saw in the video, I did grow up in a military home. My dad spent 21 years in the Air Force. He was a combat arms instructor, so if you had to learn how to fire, you probably went through him. He enjoyed his job of teaching guys how to shoot. In 1997, Dad got stationed in Korea on a one-year remote tour. He was at Kunsan Air Force Base, and when he came back, he told my mother that God is calling us to go over and take over the servicemen center that he had been in Kunsan City. My mom, being the loving wife, said, "We'll be here when you get back. Stay in touch." Those of you that have been around the ministry, you know that doesn't work. You've got to have a wife that's behind you 100%, or your ministry is going to fail. And so Dad started praying that God would change Mom's heart, or God would change his heart. And as he was praying, a church in the area, a Korean Baptist church nonetheless, was looking for an American associate pastor that could take care of the youth services as well as the English side of the ministry. And so they were calling all the Baptist churches around, asking if they had a man that they could be willing to give up to be able to take that position. Got a hold of my pastor and at Barksdale Air Force Base, and the pastor told him, "Well, I happen to have a man that feels like he's called to the military and called to Korea." And so they hooked up, and Dad became the associate pastor at Bonsuk Baptist Church, and the Korean ladies loved on my mother. We took the position in 2001, and by the end of 2002, Mom said, "Okay, if God's called us to Korea, I'm on board." And myself, my sister, and my brother were all hating the fact that we were leaving the States. We did not want to. I was 16 at the time, and I was comfortable. I had my life planned out. I was going to graduate from high school in 2 years, go away to Bible college, and do something in the children's ministry. I never imagined that God would have me working with the military, working in a church that are reaching other people for Christ. I wanted to work with children, wanted to be a teacher. But while Dad was in Korea the first time, I made a profession of faith. I watched one of my best friends go down the aisle and get saved, and he got all the attention. And so my 12-year-old mind said, "Well, that's all you got to do. I can do that. Deal. Let's sign me up." And so I went forward. I'd been in Awanas for most of my life. I knew the verses. I was quoting them to the counselor before he was even being able to turn them to show them to me. And I was quoting them to him, but I had a head knowledge, not a heart knowledge. I knew what I had to know, but I did not know it in my heart. I did not have a relationship with Christ. And so God sent my dad and sent my family to Korea. And Dad looks back on it now because they're no longer in Korea. They're back at Barksdale Air Force Base running a servicemen center. But looked at Korea as a time for myself and for my sister. She found her husband over there and they're serving God. He's in the Air Force and they're currently stationed at Avion Air Force Base. But when I got to Korea in March of 2003, God started to tighten the screws on my heart, so to speak. in the States, I had a reputation. If you had polled anybody in our church, they would have looked at you and you would have asked them, if you had to pick one teenager going to heaven, who would it be? My name would have come up 9 times out of 10. I had the reputation of being the church kid. But when I got to Korea, that reputation meant nothing. The church members in Korea didn't care who I was. They loved me because I was there, you know, in the church, but it didn't mean anything. And if I could quote verses, I could quote verses. That's great. But what are you doing? They wanted to see more fruit than just being able to quote verses. And Dad started taking, he took over the church while the missionary was gone on furlough. And while he was preaching, I don't even remember what he was preaching on, but in the month of August, the entire month, I argued with God. I told him, I know I'm going to heaven. There's no way that you can prove that I'm not. And I challenged God to prove it. And for 3 weeks, I argued with him. In my Bible that I was carrying at the time, I worked with Child Evangelism Fellowship and had led, you know, dozens of kids to the Lord. And every time I lead a child to the Lord, I'd have him sign his name and we put the date there so I could remember to pray for them. And so I took God to the front of my Bible, no verses, just to the front of my Bible, and showed him my resume. Lord, this is how I know I'm saved. I've led others to the Lord. And he took me to Matthew chapter 7, where it talks about, in the last times there'll be those that have said, have I not done this, and cast out demons, and done this in your name, and done that in your name. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit there, but he also said at the very end of that, he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. And the Holy Spirit said, that's you. You're in that position. And so on August 22nd, 2004, I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. And I knew I was on my way to heaven, but I had to learn from the school of hard knocks. My wife says that I still have a hard head, but God started to burden my heart for the people that were around me at the time. Like Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter number 6, he talks about how he saw that he had unclean lips, but he also saw the people around him. They had unclean lips. He dwelt in the midst of them. And he saw the depravity of the people around him. And God started to show that to me. And he started to poke on my heart and say, I want you to go to missions. And I told him, no, I will not. This is not what I want to do. I am not going to be a missionary here, a missionary anywhere. I'm going back to the States and I'm going to work a job and I'm going to be comfortable. And God made me uncomfortable. Like Jonah was in the belly of the whale, God had to get a hold of my life. And so I put 2 cars into 2 separate walls in Korea. Didn't hurt myself. All I did was damage the car to where they were not usable and had to buy a new one. But God, I know, was doing that, protecting me, but trying to get my attention at the same time. And so I said, Lord, I'll do it. I'll go to Africa. I'll go to Russia. I'll go to South America. I'll go to Mexico, Canada, you name it. Just not Korea. I don't want to come back here. And God continued to squeeze and continued to tighten and continued to get a hold of my life. And I'm ashamed to say he had to use the Jehovah's Witness to get my attention. We were walking down the street in Kunsan City on the way to a bowling alley, just wasting time as a teenager between services on Sunday afternoon. And out of a house walked 2 American Jehovah's Witnesses. They were as white as I am, and they were speaking Korean to the family. And the Holy Spirit, as audible as I'm talking to you, to me, to my heart, said, they're willing to share a false gospel. What are you going to do? It's like God had taken the proverbial basketball and said, game on. And so the end of 2005, I finally said, okay, Lord, if Korea is what you've got for me, Korea is where I'll go. And so I surrendered to be willing to go back and serve God in Korea. Still being hard-headed, I thought I was going to one-up God. My biggest prayer request to God was, I will come back to Korea if you will give me a wife that will follow me to Korea. And that's difficult. I mean, for the first date, how many of you would be like, yeah, I'll go anywhere you want to go? No, it doesn't happen. And so I knew that if God was going to give her to me, she had to be perfect. She had to be the right one for me. And so with my wife, Leela, on our first date in college, I sat down with her and laid it out. I said, this is it. I'm going to Korea. I'm going to be a missionary. If you're willing to follow me there, if this is the Lord's will for us to get married, then we can continue this relationship. But if you're not willing to leave the country, there's no point in even following after me. No point in getting attached. And her response to me that night was, I've prayed since I was a child that God would send me a man that's called to missions. Amen. And if the Lord feels that it's, if it's the Lord's will for me to marry you, I will follow you to Korea. And I wanted to run laps around the gym. I was excited and scared all at the same time because I knew that God had answered my one request and I was going to Korea. I went to college and I majored in elementary education. I had no intention of going back to Korea as a missionary. I planned on going back as a teacher. Korean culture is very education-centered, and so anybody that has a degree that's from an English-speaking country can get a really good job in Korea teaching English. And so I was going to go over and teach English as a missionary teacher, but not ever pastor a church. And God had some other plans for me. The college I went to is unaccredited. And my junior year, Korea passed a law saying that all teachers must have an accredited degree. So I said, okay, Lord, what's going on? The Lord showed me he has his other plans for me. And not my plans were not going to work. That his plans are what I needed to follow. And so we got out of college. We got married in 2011. Had our oldest, Eric, in 2012. Our middle child, now Nathan, he's 2014. And now Reagan, who will be here in 2017. When we started Deputation, our intention was to go and work with a missionary. My mindset was, I cannot do it. I had memorized Philippians 4:13 as a child, and I was telling the Lord, I cannot do it. Even with Christ's help, I can't. And so I stepped out with little faith, saying, I'm going to go on Deputation, going to go work with a missionary, gain some experience. Within 3 months of coming on board with AFBM and getting ready to start, we were given a call by Brother Doug Carricker, who you saw in the video and you probably have here several times, I'm sure. He called and said, hey, there's a post up north that needs a missionary. Will you pray about going there? And I told Doug, I said, no, I'm not going. It's not going to happen. I'm too young. I'll ruin the ministry. It's not going to work. And he said, well, at least pray about it. I said, okay, I'll pray, but I'm not going. And I did. I honestly prayed. When I was in Korea the first time praying, I prayed around the bush, so to speak, because I knew what God's will was for my life, and I did not want it. But I earnestly sought God's will, and I said, Lord, if this is your will, you have to show it to me. Smack me in the face with it, because I'm not doing this of my own will. It's not going to happen. And as we were sitting there praying and seeking God's face with my pastor, with my father, with my wife, we were all praying, and God started to give us a burden for those people that were at this post, for the military personnel that were stationed there, for the Koreans that were around the post. God started to give us a sincere burden for them. And then as we were praying, we found out at camp that our candidate school the following summer, Brother Carrier pulled me aside and he said, they're closing your post. And I said, you're joking. He said, go look it up and come back. We'll talk tomorrow. And I went and looked it up. And sure enough, the post that we were supposed to go to, the Korean government has said, we want to take over the defense of our country. And the Americans are pulling back off the line. And so that post is going to be non-existent by the time that we finish Deputation and can get to Korea, which is the end of this year. There's not going to be any troops there. And so I went to my wife and we went to the Lord and said, what's going on? Why have you gotten us in this point to pull the rug out from under us? Why have you taught us this and given us this burden and then said, nope, that's not what's going to happen? And while we were praying about it, we were seeking the Lord's face on what he wanted us to do from there, go back to our original plan. But why would you change us from our original plan if you were just going to send us back to it? And within a week, we got a call from a missionary by the name of Dave Russell. And he called and said, brother, I've got to leave. Will you pray about coming here? A post that's about 4 hours south, Camp Carroll is the name of the post. There's 4,000 troops that are stationed there on a one-year remote tour rotation. And I told him, I'm coming, but let me pray about it. I wanted to make sure it was for sure God's will. And that was the easiest prayer of my life, praying, and the Lord just said, that's it. Had Brother Russell called me 6 months earlier, I would have told him no. I'm not coming. I'm too young. I will ruin your ministry. It's not going to work. But because we had learned, God took us the long road to Korea, so to speak. We had to learn to trust him, to learn to rely on him. Our verse that we use for our ministry that God gave to us is Romans chapter number 10, verses 13 through 15, if you want to turn there. That's where the challenge is going to come from. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And many of you could probably quote that with me. But verse 14 says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" And then in verse 15 it says, "And how shall they preach except they be sent?" And it continues to say, "As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." God gave us a burden for our military and our Korean nationals. You saw in the video, I grew up in a military home. I've seen time and time and time again these young men that have come in, that have grown up in homes. Some of them pastor's sons have testimonies of being missionary kids. And they go and they get stationed for the first time overseas. And those of you that have been in the military that have been away from your family, away from your church, you understand what it's like. They get bombarded. Their friends try to get them to toss that testimony to the wayside. Come out and drink with us. Who's going to know? Come out and do whatever with us. Who's going to know? Nobody back home will know. It'll be just you. And the Lord will know. And many times they go out and they get lost in sin. And when they come home, they avoid church. Because that's the one place they don't want to be now, because it's going to convict them of their sin. Because they know that God knows. And so our burden is sincerely for those that have been saved. We want to continue to keep them on the right track. To give them a place where they can come and they can watch the Super Bowl without having to go to a bar. A place where they can come and watch the World Series or whatever that's going to be on TV. A place where they can come and hang out and just be able to spend time in a Christian environment. A place where they can play board games. My family and I love playing board games. And so when Pastor said, "Bring your board games," I've got a box in the back of my car that we carry with us. But we love being able to play board games, and we want to be able to spend time with them. We also want to see those that are lost saved. Our intention to be able to share the gospel with them. They say, "How shall they hear without a preacher?" It's been estimated that less than 20% of the chaplaincy knows Christ. Let that sink in. Less than 20%. The army alone has 2,700 chaplains. So if we say 20%, you're looking at 270 that are saved out of 2,700. It's hard to share Christ with someone when you don't know Christ yourself. And so our young men and women aren't being reached. And don't get me wrong, there are some that are good. There are some that are doing a great work for God. And we chose not to go in the chaplaincy because we knew that God had us. Our God's plan for us was Korea. And if we joined the Air Force or the Army or whatever and became a chaplain, who knows where they would have sent us. But we wanted to be able to preach the gospel. I met a chaplain, a Navy chaplain, when I was in Virginia a year and a half ago. And he told us that he can preach, but he's got to be very careful. It cannot be an aggressive, hellfire, brimstone type message. And he said the hardest thing for him is that he is not allowed to give an invitation at the end of his message. And that was his testimony. I know there's some others that say they can, but his testimony was that they couldn't. They could not give an invitation. How many of you were saved when that invitation was given? And the Holy Spirit said, "Hey, he's talking to you. You need to get saved." They're not being reached by the chaplaincy. They need someone that would be willing to stand at the gate when it's 20 degrees outside. Someone that's willing to stand at the gate when it's 103 degrees outside. That's willing to show them that they love them, that they care for them. And we want to see our military saved. We want to see them used by God. You realize our military are stationed in places that U.S. missionaries will never have the opportunity to go to of their own free will. They can sneak in and have different ways of getting in. But we have military in Iraq. We have military in Qatar. We have military in Saudi. We have military in Turkey. Military all over the world. In places where a missionary would have severe trouble getting into. But we pray that we can reach those military so when they get restationed, they can be used to reach Iraqis and Qatarians, and they can be used to reach Saudis, and they can be used to reach the Turkish people, and they can be used to reach those around us. And when we get to heaven someday, like it tells us in Galatians, that if we faint not, we'll reap. And we can get to heaven someday and we'll see, and God will show us that guy that got led to the Lord. He was able to lead such and such and such and such to the Lord. And we'll be able to see the fruit that continues to abound to the account. But God's also given us a burden for the Korean nationals. We have a Korean interpreter at the church now that we're working with. I meet with him once a week via Skype. I'm working on learning the language. My goal is to be able to speak to a Korean and lead him to the Lord within a year of being in Korea without the help of my interpreter. They say, and I'm sure it's been said here multiple times, but they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And learning their language and being able to reach them is just as important. And so we want to see the Koreans saved. I was telling Pastor before church, the closest city to us, the large city to us, is the city of Daegu. There are 3.5 million people in the city of Daegu. In that city, there is one independent Baptist church. Now, I've not seen many churches that are running 3.5 million people. So they're not able to reach the whole city. Our goal is to train these young men. The Lord had me go to school to learn education because he had a plan. We want to start an institute, and I have the understanding and the training to be able to do that, to teach these young men how they can go into the area and start winning other Koreans to the Lord, planting a church, planting several churches, as many as we can, in Daegu and in Taejon. And the next closest city is an hour and a half away, and there's 5 million people there and no independent Baptist church. There's nobody there preaching the gospel of Christ. And you say, Brother Mahaney, how does this apply to me? I'm glad you asked. Verse 14, how shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? God has called me to go to Korea, but it does not make me special. I'm no different than any other Christian in the world. Just because God's given me a burden for the Korean people and for the U.S. military that are stationed at Camp Carroll doesn't make me special. God's great commission goes to each and every one of us. The people here in Plantation aren't hearing the gospel because we're not giving it to them. Because we're not willing to share the gospel with them. We're not willing to go out of our comfort zone and say, hey, come to church on Sunday. Hey, here's a track. Here's a gospel witness. Hey, you can do this. Praying for that prayer list of all those people that are lost. We've got to put feet to our prayer. Visiting them, talking to them, sending them messages, calling them. And the Lord, my grandmother on my mom's side, I've had several opportunities to talk to her, and she doesn't know Christ, I don't believe. Her testimony doesn't match up with the Bible. And I've called her time and time again to where she ignores my phone calls now. Because I care for her soul. I want to know for sure she's going to heaven. And we should be in the same boat. We should be running as fast as we can to share the gospel. They cannot call until they believe. They cannot believe until they hear. And they cannot hear without a preacher. And if you read on down, it says that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We've got to be sharing God's word with them so that they can know for sure they're going to heaven. God has given all of us a mission. My mission is Korea. Your mission is Plantation, Miami, the greater Miami area. Are you going to be willing to serve God here? To share the gospel of Christ with others? It's not just the missionary's job. It's every person's job, every Christian's job. Every time you hear the Great Commission, it does not say anywhere in there, missionaries, pastors, song directors, Awana leaders. It's not in there. All it says is, go ye. And Isaiah, the Lord said, whom shall I send? Period. There was not a, whom shall I send to be a missionary? Whatever. Isaiah said, pick me. I want to be used. I pray that that's your prayer tonight, Pastor.
Thank you, Brother Drew. He'll be moving over there, Lord willing, in September and be pastoring that church. And they have within that church a servicemen center. You heard him say that word a couple of times. That's a place where the military can come and they can be received and they can be prayed with. And that's a place that they can come and hang out. That's a place also that they get the gospel. It's a great ability to secure those young men. How many were in the military as a Christian? You were in the military as a Christian here. So speak up a second. Brother Bill, if you had a serviceman center to go to, would that have been a blessing in the military to be around Christianity? Brother Black, did I see your hand go up? Went there very often. Brother Randy, a young man going into the military faces temptation, faces evil, faces the world. Serviceman center or a godly missionary would have been a blessing? You were one of those type. You only go for special events. But you had a serviceman center outside of what base? Anybody else attend one over here? Brother Walker, you were a Christian in the military?
Yeah, I was in the Navy, and I was on a ship, and it would have been great to have service missionary training.
Did you meet any other Christians on that ship?
Yep, we met, there was three or four of us that would meet.
Yeah. I know Brother Malcolm was in the military, and he was telling me about how God used that and people there in certain places. I think what God has called him to is pretty special. If you agree with that, say amen. And we need this ministry. Armed Forces Baptist Ministry is like a mission board, like GMSA. Okay, Brother Raul. Brother Raul works for GMSA. You have how many missionaries in your board? 27 families. Okay. And Armed Forces has about 65 families. So they need these boards that give them accountability. They help them in their paperwork and their resources and so on. And all their support is funneled through there. And they've got men and women that carry that ministry behind the scenes. And then these families join these boards. And then they're sent out with the help of these boards, but they're sent out from their church. So Armed Forces Baptist Missions, Doug Carriger is the director of that. We support him. They got 65 families that go out all over the world, some here and some in the States and some around. And missionaries are joining that every day to try to reach the military. He's at 81% support, hoping to leave in September, which means he needs 19% support. He's got about 15 other churches that he'll be in between then and that time. But there's a building there. There's an interpreter there. There's people there. They just need the pastor to get there. I think we should try to help the pastor get there. Don't you think we ought to help the pastor get there? And so I believe God will put that together. I'd like to close by saying this. Powerful testimony. Thought he was saved. Tried to prove to God that he was saved by what he did. And God proved to him that no man's saved by what they do. They're saved by the Lord Jesus. I wonder if that's you. Then God called him and said, God, I'm never doing that. Never tell God never. That's stupid. There's just no other Greek word for it other than stupid, you know. I'm never going to do that. And God just honed it in. And then to sit down, that was hilarious. You meet that girl for the first time, and you sit her down, and you just lay it all out. We're not wasting time. I'm going to the mission field. And for her to say, I've prayed my whole life for this. Are you kidding me? I'm not sure he was exactly what she envisioned. No, I'm just kidding about it. I prayed my whole life that I would meet a man that would go to the mission field. I said it on Mother's Day, and I'll say it again. Nobody works life out like God works life out. Nobody. When you see God work like that in the life of somebody, you can trust that somebody. You did a great job, sir. You have prayer cards with you at your table back there. He'll be in the lobby. I want you to greet him, shake his hand, love on him, tell him you'll be praying for him. And our missions comes up, and I'm sure want to be part of this, man. I'm praying that God will open that door. and we'll be able to do that. All right, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Stand if you would. Let's pray. Let's be dismissed.